Welcome to another Goose Talks podcast, where we dive into tendering opportunities and challenges in global markets. Today, we're zooming into Norway with our guest Denise from Helmes. We'll discuss the nuances of Norway's business landscape, especially in tech, and share insights for companies aiming to thrive in this market. Expect practical advice, cultural considerations, and first-hand experience from Helmes' journey in Norway. Welcome, Denise. We're happy to have you.
Happy to be here with you.
So, as we're talking about Norway, would you give a brief introduction to yourself and Helmes as a company?
My name is Denis Oesto, and I represent a company called Helmes, and I have worked there for 11 years by now. I'm one of the partners, a member of the board by now, and Helmes is a software development services company. So we provide services related to IT, analysis, development, testing, design of information systems. It tends to be larger companies, organizations, both public sector, private sector. And we have a headquarter here in Estonia, but we have offices in Latvia, Poland, Lithuania. And our customers are around Europe, I would say, Northern Europe, Baltics, Central Europe, and US.
How did you end up in Norway?
Norway is one of our country markets. I wouldn't say it's the main one. It's one of them. But I think it was pretty much also thanks to my own background. Since I've lived in Norway, I speak Norwegian. I studied in Norway. So when I came back to Estonia after living there, it felt natural to start developing business there.
And how long has Helmes been in Norway?
About 10 years.
That's a long time.
Yes.
How has the market changed during that time?
Good question. I think one area is that, like in many other sectors in Europe, but also in US, there is more focus on perhaps nearshoring, which is good for us. A little less urge to outsource services far away to, let's say, Asia. There are cybersecurity concerns. There is GDPR concerns, of course, which haven't been there 10 years ago. These are positive changes for us, I would say. But then it also puts more pressure on us because, as I said, there is higher requirements for cybersecurity, privacy, data privacy, and such.
But the market itself currently is lively and you're happy to be there, or are there any difficulties?
Yeah, we like to be in Norway. We like working with Norwegian companies, Norwegian customers, partners. It's culture we understand. We appreciate transparency and openness. And in general, we enjoy working there, as I said. But there are, of course, also difficulties. Overall, economic situation is, I wouldn't say any negative, but it's how would I say, many are waiting for what is happening, what will be happening, and some of the investments are being put away, so to say, or put away in the future.
Okay, so it's sort of a on hold or waiting
yes.
moment at this very second.
Sort of, yes.
So 10 years ago when you entered, what were the main difficulties? As you said, you speak Norwegian and you have the background. Did it help much? Or
I think knowing Norwegian language is not a deal breaker, but it's a great icebreaker. So it helps to establish relations, absolutely. Then you are suddenly not seen as a complete foreigner, but you've seen as one of us, so to say. So that has helped, definitely. But difficulty is like in any other market, you still are a foreign company. Nobody knows you. You're completely unknown. So you are kind of on your own there. You have no network. You have no brand. And many of the customers, many of the sectors prefer locals, local companies, local consultants. So you have this advantage by default and you have to overcome that.
How do you be one of their own, so to speak? Obviously you're not, but how to get that trust?
As I said, the language helps a lot and the common history and the fact that I studied there and worked there, and by now I know a lot of people. I have a network there, so that all helps a lot. If you don't have that, it is trying to kind of accommodate to local, let's say, customs, like business customs mostly. I think that would help.
Are their customs, so to speak, very different to ours? Of course, we're from Estonia and somebody from US might have it differently. But are there any quirks or is more or less that we know of in the Western Hemisphere?
Yeah, it is mostly like in Western Hemisphere, as you said. I think what differentiates maybe Norway somewhat from maybe more other locations, including Estonia, is that there's more focus on, let's say, having it good and in relation. So Norwegians don't like to have like in general confrontations in business relations. So you would expect your partners to be nice to each other, to your partners. There is a feeling that you would like to work with people who are nice to each other. So to say, it's not, I wouldn't say it's a keep smiling culture, like in some other countries in the Western Hemisphere, without naming any, because at the same time, Norwegians very much appreciate openness and honesty and directness, which is symbolizing Estonia, but maybe having less of, let's say, sarcasm and more of like feel good type of relations. I think that maybe is something important, and less focus on formality. Like in many other countries, there's much more formal kind of like business attire and the way you approach customers, the way you communicate. They don't expect like long contracts, long emails, long list of bullet points, something concrete, good, transparent, at the same time focusing on building relations.
So more or less straight to business.
Yes.
That's a good thing to have.
Yeah, for Estonians it kind of fits us, yeah.
So how are things in tech sector? Is the tech sector completely different compared to, let's say, I don't know, industry perhaps or something? Or is it more or less the same?
Tech sector is definitely developing fast. It has its own local, let's say, peculiarity due to the economy, like the type of economy Norway has. So a lot of that is related to still oil and gas and fisheries, natural resources overall, I would say. If you compare with, let's say, Sweden or Finland, or not even speaking about Germany or UK, in Norway's it's much more natural resources dominated, really, and therefore tech sector also is quite much related to these sectors. So it has startups and companies which deliver services or deliver some products to these industries. That would be perhaps one. The other one is, as many know, Norway is a wealthy country. It has very high standards of living, and Norwegians know that, and they appreciate also high level of standards also in tech. Like, for example, you can see the sales of got the share of iPhones on the mobile phone sales market in Norway is by far the largest among other countries, or the most sales our brand for several years have been Tesla. So if a Norwegian as a person would select a product, he or she would go for the best one, kind of, for at least what they consider to be the best. And it kind of applies also often to services as well. So they want to understand that what they buy is really best. And I don't mean necessarily the most expensive, because they, of course, look at the price as well. But there has to be something that they feel, okay, that has been a really good offer, so to say, and not just a good bargain, but really something that I know this is the world class, so to say, or best in class, what I'm buying here.
So when entering the market, you must have your value proposition in order, and thus you can go high price, obviously, but if you don't have the quality, it will not work out.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
We slightly touched the language barrier or lack thereof, but when entering the market, and I don't, for example, know any Norwegian, how essential would it be for me to have a local partner, or then just me going there and doing it all in English, perhaps?
It depends on the sector, of course. In the tech sector, and especially in services, it's the model of outsourcing or nearshoring is quite well spread. So nobody would expect you to be there and your people to be there and speak your language, unless you are a public sector. or you are a very large company, then that might be different. But in many other sectors, including also IT, the local presence is expected. So in many, many situations, having local partner will be essential, I would say.
Hermes is active in a lot of different markets. How would you compare Norway to other markets, in Europe especially, but going further out?
There are different aspects. One is, let's say, how good it is business-wise. Another is how good it is to work, like people-wise, so to say. Let's say in terms of business, it's rather good. It's not as large market as some others, simply because the structure of economy is that you have a few really, really big ones, like public sector, oil and gas, some kind of usual suspects like Equinor, former Statoil, and then you have many SMEs. While in, let's say Germany or in Sweden or in UK, in Switzerland, you have much more breadth of different companies to work with, larger companies, and organizations. So in terms of business, Norway perhaps wouldn't be kind of the best choice if you aim for breadth or width in what you're doing. But still, it has a lot of good market potential. On the other hand, what is good about Norway, I would say that applies to most of the Northern Europe, at least where we often operate. It's transparency in business relations. You wouldn't be expecting someone to lie to you that they will pay, but they will not, which unfortunately sometimes happens in business, right? So normally the invoices are paid in due time, which is very relevant, and promises are kept. So in that sense, that makes it quite easy to work with. And there is with Norwegian companies, and there is also a little hierarchy. So decisions are made rather quick, unless it's a very large organization, as I said, which there are not many of. So it's not difficult to work, and also for people in Estonia or in Latvia, in Baltics, where we have most of our employees, they like to work with Norwegians. It's easy. It's again a little hierarchy. They expect you to take initiative. They expect you to be autonomous, which our people like. So there's a good match in it really. So there is no the hierarchy and distance, like power distance, is very low. So in terms of people relations, it's also easy to work with Norway.
So those were all the good things. What might be the challenges one would face, or what have you faced in Norway?
As I said, the main challenge is that if you try to work with new customers, to acquire new customers or partners, you are unknown. You're just one of many. So you have to build up your brand. You yourself are a brand, because they have nothing to compare you with. And Estonia has, let's say, being from Estonia is a double-edged sword, so to say. On one hand, we are, for certain people, we are known as e-Estonia. In tech sector, that's a good sign in certain circles, so to say. We have a good image. On the other hand, we still are considered as just Eastern Europe, some cheap location with cheap labor. So getting back to this, expecting really good quality and something really good, not many, let's say many, would not expect that to come from Estonia, because we are not known. We are still not on the same level as company coming from Finland or Denmark, which for them will be something they would look with more interest at. So this is something we have to work with. But as I said, the brand of e-Estonia is helping, on the other hand, quite a bit. So that are the main difficulties when entering the market. When you are already in relations with Norwegian companies, I wouldn't say there are many difficulties, except the overall economic sentiment that is a little bit on hold, as we were talking before.
We talked about Estonians being having that image two-sided. Which do you know if there's any, who would they prefer? For example, if you're coming from Germany, would it be easier to go to Norway than Estonia, I guess?
I guess for many of the products or services, it would, yes. But maybe not for everything, and I think this barrier can be overcome by showing that what you actually can, and you can also present, you can explain that we in Estonians we can be much more flexible compared to any German company. We are quick, we are adaptive, we are agile. So that's something they actually appreciate, and this applies for both, you know, construction as well as IT services.
So in from that I gather that it's better to be small for Norway than you have the agility.
It often is, and of course it depends on what you provide. On the other hand, if you're too small, and in our sector, if you can't say that you are aware of cybersecurity risks or data privacy leaking risks, then you might be a bit too small and too kind of shady for them to work with.
So we talked about nearshoring. So are they trusting towards the people in Europe more than they would be, for example, people from Asia or companies from Asia? In your experience, that may be.
Yeah, I wouldn't talk about people, but because people can be different anywhere, but companies and locations, it might be yes, because there have been some cases where there has been private data leakages in companies operating from faraway locations and no compliance with GDPR rules, which is quite high on agenda these days.
So yeah, being from Europe helps a lot. That sense.
I would say so, yes, and being from European Union, of course, as well. So that's, again, for us, being a small country, which is not very known in many, among many, this is very important as well, that we are part of EU, we have been there for a long time, so that is definitely helpful.
So let's say today you have a new company, or you don't have a working company, and you want to enter Norway. What would you do? Where would you start?
I will start defining who you are after there, who are your ideal customer. Is it a private customer? Is it B2C business? Is it other organizations, B2B? If it's B2C, then operating from Estonia alone is impossible. Then you definitely have to have a local partner. If it's B2B business, then it is definitely possible. Then I would turn to some of the organizations like Enterprise Estonia, which are helping such companies to enter the market. I would also look at the trade fairs, at the conferences which are happening. I would look at the local chambers of commerce, which can help also with introductions to potential partners and customers. So I would say this will be similar to any other market. I don't see a big difference really. What is maybe interesting is that Norway is not completely Oslo oriented like in many other countries. So you have strong industries also in other locations in the West Coast, for example, even in North, in South, depending on the industry, like locations like Bergen or Trondheim or Tromsø, Kristiansand. There are certain clusters of industries, and might be good to work with kind of local clusters, with local chambers. And one thing is definitely I would recommend, again, maybe that's not Norway specific, but I would recommend going there physically, traveling, meeting people, and not only once, but doing it on a regular basis. I think that's important, again, to build relations. Because, as I said, the regions like to work with people they want to work with.
So build your network.
Yes.
The business is done between people, not between companies in that sense.
Yes. And after you have maybe met once or twice, then definitely invite them to Estonia. Many are glad to come. It's not difficult to travel. And you can show that we are actually quite a normal country. There's nothing to fear. And that they are good people, you can get them, meet your other colleagues, your employees, and exactly to understand, to get understanding that, yes, this is the type of country, type of company, type of organization I would like to work with.
Helmes is in business, the business-to-business sector, right?
Yes.
Have you tried going towards the government as well in Norway?
Yes, we have. But it's mainly with local partners. We actually have been part of tenders. We have been part of two different consortiums of many Norwegian companies. In fact, as the one of the in this consortium, there have been about 20 companies, and we are the only foreign company there, which has been quite a good achievement. And these are large frame agreements that we are in, and then we have possibility to apply for small actual bids.
How was the process getting in there? You're just one of 20, and then you're being the only foreign company. Must have been hard.
Mm. Yes, we have established relations with a leading company of the consortium. So the one that is actually has established the consortium and is the leading partner there. And with them, it has been so that they have been visiting Estonia for an inspirational trip, so to say. And we happened to meet them. I met made a presentation about Estonia helmets, and then I visited them again in Oslo and again, and somehow then we started to build the trust, and we liked each other, and then they invited us to the consortium based on our previous experiences and references as well.
So networking once again.
Yes, absolutely.
So, but in the end, what if you had to say one thing or give one tip to a company trying to go to Norway, enter Norway, what would that be?
I think define what you are, what you have uniqueness in. Why are you unique? It doesn't have to be that you're once in a one type of company in the world, but you have to differentiate yourself from most of the others because the competition is there. And try to bring it out, but think also why a Norwegian company would want to work with you. Not only due to this unique selling point, but also due to the culture, type of relations. How would you build relations? How would you keep them? To have certain strategy about that, perhaps.
Okay. Well, thank you, Dennis, for this lovely conversation.
Thank you, Kaur. It was my pleasure.